I became a firefighter about 35 years ago as a teenager. My dad taught me the basics of fire was there's three main causes of fire, men, women and children, and big fire, big water. Now, taking that mindset a little bit further to mega fire, one would think you need mega amounts of big red trucks, helicopters and air tankers and IT to get the job done. Now, we heard this morning from Jerry about the focus on suppression, and it's just not working on its own. So I'm going to talk about resourcing and probably not what you'd expect to hear from a fire commissioner or firefighter. Jerry also outlined this morning three main challenges that we face in trying to effectively manage bushfires. Firstly, climate change and drought, and in New South Wales or southeast Australia generally, we've been told to expect increasing frequency of extreme fire weather, and we're seeing that, and fires seem to be harder to put out. Increasing fuel loads, and lastly, more people moving into the urban bushland interface, and they don't know as much as rural people about fires, as we heard before. The traditional approach has been to try to match the risk to assets with firefighting capability. And I've spent a significant amount of time in California, which would have to be considered firefighters' paradise. The more big red shiny trucks, helicopters and air tankers that you can than you can poke a stick at. And as Jerry pointed out, this costs about $3.1 billion per annum, which is probably about seven times what we pay in New South Wales. Now, is that money well spent? We saw in 2003, 3,000 homes, 22 lives lost. A number of those were firefighters. 1993, similar story. Maybe there's more to it than that. As a firefighter, I'd love to say that a massive investment in firefighting resources is the answer, but of course, clearly, it's just one part of a big jigsaw puzzle. There has to be a balanced mix between fire prevention, fire mitigation and fire suppression. One of the big issues that fire services are increasingly recognising that John's talking about is that community engagement is a key factor in mitigating the effects of fire, but we're unable to spare much money to do this because people keep telling us we have to put more into big red shiny trucks and firefighters. I've had long discussions with fire service colleagues in the US about their approach to community engagement, which I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I have to say I don't think they're very good at. I was at a fire some years ago in San Diego County, and the approach taken by the fire services at that time was that the community were basically a hindrance to them fulfilling their important role, so everybody was forcibly removed so they could get in and do their stuff. Homes then started to burn down because there weren't enough fire engines to go around. Now, we see this all the time. We know that we get to a point where our resources are stretched too thin, and that's when you start to lose properties. It's long been known in Australia and validated by research that survivability of a home in a fire is directly correlated to the number of people who remain to defend it. However, of course, it's incumbent on the fire authorities, as John said, to educate communities about how to do this and what's defensible and what's not. My service, New South Wales Fire Brigades, even though we're an urban fire and rescue service, protects thousands of kilometres of urban bushland interface in partnership with the Rural Fire Service, National Parks and State Forests. Following the devastating 1994 bushfires, we reintroduced a community self-help program that had been developed during World War II. This involved training and equipping residents at the interface to maintain their homes in a fire-safe condition and to deal with ember attack before and after fire fronts arrived, not to fight the fires. They're not firefighters. There are now 320 community fire units in interface areas in New South Wales with 6,000 community volunteers, and they've saved dozens of homes, particularly during fires in 1997, 2001 and 2002. Now, the cost of that, the same as buying eight brand new big red shiny trucks but without crews to operate them. So over the 12-year period of the program, that equates to three quarters of a truck without a crew each year, and we've been able to get 6,000 members of the community involved. That, to me, is good bang for the buck and proves to me that community engagement is the way to go.